I really believe that this word is meant for this day, this time, and this hour for our church today. It's an old story found in the book of Joshua. In the Old Testament. Story of deliverance. Story of complete obedience to God. You'll turn over there to Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to read several scriptures, and then we're going to take time and preach a little bit. Is that all right?
All right.
Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse 1 to verse 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. I'm going to stop there for a moment. I want you to grasp a hold of what was just said there. None went out and none came in. I'm going to say just a little bit more on that subject because I feel the Holy Spirit just give me the unction to say this. There are people by the sound of my voice today that nothing's been coming in and nothing's been going out. God has a word for you today, for all of us. Amen. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Now to Joshua 6 and 10. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until that day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." Joshua 6 and 16. And the 7th time it happened when the priest blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you this city." Joshua 6 and 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. If you want to even look over there in Hebrews, in chapter 11 and verse 30, it talks about faith taking down the walls of Jericho. I want to tell you today that in this scripture, that the faith that took down the walls of Jericho, they fell down, and because they were encircled for 7 days. You know, I think if you look at your life individually and you look at what's happening in your life, what's not coming in and what's not going out. I want you to hear me spiritually today, how important that you grasp the fact that there may be a wall stopping something in your life. Stopping something from you to be blessed, for you to be encouraged, for you to be healed, for you to be full of joy, full of praise, full of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. You know, this story is like almost the David and Goliath type story, the Sunday school story that the children hear in the Sunday school class and go home and they tell mom and dad about a wonderful story, how people shouted and walls came down. But this is a story that means a great deal to many people because it explains something that we're missing today in the church. What am I saying? I'm saying today, I believe, in the church, we're missing the shout. We're missing some things that I believe has to be replenished into the church. Number one, they obeyed their leaders. Today, we're in a spirit of independence in the church today. Leadership may say something, but people say, I don't know. God hasn't spoken to me about it yet. I always say, maybe you haven't heard what God is speaking to you. The Bible is very clear about leadership and the obedience thereof. Secondly, they had patience and faith. We're in a society today that patience is somewhere. Where is it? We don't see patience anymore. We don't see patience in relationships. We don't see patience in the presence of God, to stay in the presence of God, to be patient with God. Some of you probably have never experienced this, but I've seen all-night prayer meetings where people waited on the Lord. I've seen people pray till they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for hours, praying till that baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire comes. Patience with individuals in the church. Not only do we find patience, well, we can't find patience, can we? But there is a lack of faith in the church. Faith that God can do something. I don't think anybody by the sound of my voice should have any faith in men at all. But we should have faith in God. Because God will make a difference in our life. So, first of all, we've got, again, to be reminded to obey leadership. And then we have to be reminded that patience and faith is part of our makeup. As a matter of fact, if you're not aware, there is a fruit, not fruits, but fruit of the Spirit. And one of the segments of that fruit is patience. Faith is part of our life. Faith isn't what you can see. Faith is what you believe you cannot see, but is going to come to pass. Faith is knowing that what God has said, it is true. And it'll work. Faith is knowing that there may be a storm raging, but the sun is coming up soon. Faith is knowing that you may weep through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Thirdly, they trusted God for the impossible. We're missing that in the church. We're trusting God for the possible. We're not trusting God for the impossible. You see, I have enough faith to believe this, that if everybody in our neighborhood doesn't speak English but only Spanish, we can still win them to this church, which is English speaking. That seems impossible. But it can work. Faith. I believe if you're ill with a terminal disease, that God can heal you. I believe that when God speaks to a disease called cancer or AIDS, AIDS or cancer has to cease and run and hide and go away from the body that it's in. I believe with an eye cannot see, God can speak to the eye and all of a sudden vision is there. I believe when a tongue is sealed to the cleft to the mouth and it cannot speak a word and God declares to that tongue to be loosed, that it can speak. I believe when the hand is withered and it's all bent back, and Jesus can say to that hand, stretch that hand forward, and the hand comes out and it's made whole. I believe that. You see, we have to believe God for the impossible. Believe God that He can do anything, anywhere, at any time, with anyone. Because He's God. He brought all this together on this whole universe out of nothing. He took the void and made it something. He took emptiness and made it full. Let's just talk about another miracle real quick before I move on, okay? He took your sinful heart and saved it. That's a miracle. Praise God. God is a God of the impossibilities. So no matter what's going on in your life right now, whatever you think is impossible, God can bring it to a possible. Whatever men say cannot happen, God says it can. Fourthly, they obeyed Him, God being Him, in every detail. God gave the command of what to do here, and they obeyed Him in every detail. They didn't question God. They didn't say, I don't know if this is really going to work. I would imagine they felt a little foolish that day. Now, remember, they were human beings back then. Of course, they didn't have Facebook or Twitter. They didn't have DirecTV and Dish Network and cable. They didn't have Tumblr. They didn't have Share This. They didn't have all these different, well, they didn't even have Steve Jobs. They simply were human beings without electricity. Now, I know that's like trying to picture the Garden of Eden. It's impossible to think that way. What would it be like to live without electricity, without a remote? They were people that had just experienced a 40-year visitation of God by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. They have just experienced a 40-year provision of lunch by the manna coming down from heaven. They just experienced God's direct statement of obedience, and they watched the disobedient die in the desert till the generation that was 20 and below came forth and were able now to enter into the promised land. They just experienced the Jordan separating because the priest stepped into the water and that separated. And if you read the word and understand, during this harvest time, the waters of the Jordan were overflowing.
And they just saw this just go. And 2 million plus people, some commentators want to be precise, 2.5 million. The tribes that were not going to cross the River Jordan, they were going to, the 2.5 tribes are saying, we're not going over there, we're going to stay on this side because it looks a lot better over here than over there. They were commanded, you're coming over to fight, and then you can go back home after the battle's over. We still got people in church like that, you know. They want to stay where they're at. God said, you had to get the battle through, then you can go back where you're at, praise God. They came across, and the first thing they have to run into is a problem. Somebody say, I know what that's like. God calls you to do something, and you're going to run into a problem where it's going to take obedience, patience, faith, trust God for the impossible, and to obey Him in every detail that He's told you on how to accomplish what He's just told you to do. Somewhere along the line, from the detail to you begin to change what God said. If you listen to God explicitly, wholeheartedly, and to every minute point that He says to do, things will come to pass. They're walking around. You see, when we accept God's plan and we invite God's presence, I guarantee you this, you'll see victory. When you accept His plan and invite His presence, you will see victory in your life. It's when you hear His plan, but you don't invite Him to the party, because you make it your plan. The plans of men only go so far, but God's plan takes you all the way. God's plan is the only plan that the church can live by. His presence is what makes us the church. And victory He has given us through Jesus Christ consistently. It's good to live in triumph. It's good to walk in victory. It's good to know you are victorious in Christ Jesus. It's a sad day in a saint's life when they have no victory. When the frown is a frown. Where the face has no joy. The heart is sad and negative. And the feet don't want to move towards the altar of God. It's a sad day in a Christian's home when the television blares louder than the Bible study. When the children of that home are allowed to live in rebellion and they rule over the parents' rule. It's a sad note in the church when there's so many people that want to be leaders that don't know how to lead. But it's a great day in the house when families meet for devotion. It's a great day in the house when the television gets turned off and the Word of God is read. It's a great day in the house when you turn off something that's immoral and illicit and unbecoming and you turn on Christian worship music and that blares through your house, and all of a sudden the atmosphere changed and the angels of the Lord are there and there's a praise and a worship. There's something to know that when God's presence is invited, victory always follows. Amen. It's good in a home when a child is told they are not in rule here. They are to be disciplined and taught how to live and how to be right. It's a good thing in a home when God is invited in to bless the home and to strengthen the home. You see, what we find today, that they faced some rugged walls before them. They just came out of this great 40-year period. Actually, 38 years, but if you had the 2 years, and that is 40 altogether. I don't know what it would be like to walk around a desert for 40 years and watch everybody I know die. And the reason that they're dying is because they disobeyed God. And I've got to watch them die before I can get into the promise. I may get a little upset about that. I may knock on their tent door and say, I'd come in, but I don't really want to. I just came by to say, thanks. This man is getting pretty old. My shoes, I've had the same pair for 32 years. They've not worn out, but I would like to get in style. I don't know. Let's be real for a moment. You know, I don't think they all sat around and said, hey, thanks a lot for this. I'd be hanging out with Joshua and Caleb thinking, man, you guys had the tune. Those guys did not have the tune. We're playing their tune when we should be playing your tune. But one day we're going to get out of the Looney Tune into the promise.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
I don't know how cool it would have been to see a pillar of fire. And I don't know how cool it would be to have a cloud by day. I don't know how cool it would be to all of a sudden be wherever that stopped, you stopped. And you hung out till it moved. I don't know how cool it would be to all of a sudden go out and just go out there and see all the ground covered with fresh manna every day. And on Friday, double the amount. But I know how cool it would be to walk across finally, to walk into the promise. How exciting it would be. Kids, I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ very seriously right now. Please don't interrupt me again. To walk across that promised waters into a promised land and all of a sudden find themselves faced with a big problem. Rugged walls, 11 feet base, 35 feet tall, slanting inward so you couldn't climb it. It was there, so altogether, 46 feet of wall. Nothing coming in, nothing going out. Sometimes I feel when I'm preaching the gospel that there is nothing going in. And nothing coming out. Do you follow what I'm saying? Sometimes when you're going through a struggle in your life, there's nothing coming in and nothing going out. I believe the church needs to get something back which she hasn't had in a long time. And that's a good old-fashioned shout. Amen. A shout! Shutting down the walls. We are Christian soldiers, and we actually have a stand of guaranteed victory because Jesus has defeated our spiritual enemy already. Yes. Colossians 2 and 15, he's disarmed them. They don't have any bullets. Yes. They have no power over us. The only power the devil has is the power you give him when you submit to his lies. When he tells you, you'll never make it. And you go, you know, you're right. I want you to start doing crazy things like me. Go out in the middle of the night and pray on your property or wherever you're at. Just go out there and say the Lord's Prayer. Every night I go out in the middle of my property and I say the Lord's Prayer. Then I start blessing you. I bless that baby that's in your womb every night in the middle of the night. That baby's going to come out shouting, speaking in tongues by the time I'm through. I pray for your ministry every night. I do radical stuff because I serve a radical God, and he is really cool. He's really magnificent. He is so established. He is so rooted that I am grounded in him. I turn on Pandora in the house and turn on the Christian music. Because, man, it makes me feel good. It's so much better than the other stuff. Amen. I read the Word every day. I pray for a long time every day. I call out your name. I got a prayer list that's so long. I just read those names. Say, God bless them. Bless Bonnie Morris, God. Bless her. Heal Joanne Irons, God. Heal that woman. Bless her, God. I start to picture Joanne running track. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I picture Pastor Willie in a church with 1,000 members preaching the gospel, him and his wife together ministering the gospel in power. Praise God. You don't do that, preacher. Oh, I am radical. Amen. Because those walls are there. And unless you shout them down, they're not going anywhere. And the devil has got your tongue. The cat don't. The devil does. We dare not act too Pentecostal because somebody may think we're Pentecostal. You know, we have a heritage. Whether you like it or not, we have a heritage. I simply like it, actually. I love it. You know, I was just a Catholic boy, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, came to Pentecostal, and I said, wow, this is really cool. Yeah. I've always wanted to speak another language, could never get a hold of it. Now I speak in tongues, and I'm loving it. I don't even know what I say, but I'm glad he does. Right. Yes. Praise God. I think it's wonderful to be baptized in power and baptized with the fire of God and to know that you've got power over the devil, over sin, over addictions. Man, I'm clean today. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And when I pray, God hears me. Hallelujah. We've always got to move forward in God's strategies, not men's. God's strategy is to win this city. I don't quite understand everything God says to do, but I trust it. I believe it. And I know if God's saying it, it's going to happen. I may not see it in my lifetime, but it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. Well, preacher, come on now. You know, in Genesis 3:15, Jesus was promised to come. 4,000 years later, there's a lot of folks that live and died waiting for his coming. But he came at the right time, at the right moment. And now we are free.
Amen.
That may have come out a little too dry. Let me try that again. Now we are free. Oh, yeah. Let me get another one of those. Praise God. Well, that's water. Anyhow, the strategy was to march around a city 7 days, once each day, and then on the seventh day, march around seven times. Then after the trumpets sound, shout. That's some weird strategy, brother. 46 feet of wall. We don't know how many actually went around. We just know that there was the army, the priests, the ark, and the army. Walking around. One time, they go back home. Then you had all the folks that weren't doing it, hanging out, watching. And here the thing is, no one could talk. Oh my God, speak, Lord, speak. Speak to the church that all the talking stops. And the trust overrules the talking. Speak, Lord, speak. That the talking stops and the trust overrules the talking. Yes. Where people begin to trust in the Lord with all their heart. What is a shout? It's a signal of a loud noise. How many's ever been to... Well, let's just bring it home. How many's ever been to, I'll say Oakland A's because I know everybody, if I say the 49ers or anything. So how many's ever been to the Oakland A's game? Okay. How many's when the balls hit over the wall, do you sit there like this? Or you do this. Man, that ball's hit over the park while you go, oh! And you're not even on beer. You're on Jesus. Amen. You know, I just really believe that. You know, I saw this video this last week and where T.D. Jakes was there and he said, you know, when I'm in church, I want to feel like I've been in church, not the grocery store. Yeah. Yeah. We have to learn that there is something that surrounds us that we have to understand. It's nothing's coming in, nothing's going out. We can shout it down. And believe it and trust it and move forward in it. You know, the priests didn't use the silver trumpets to call for war. I almost brought my shofar, but I thought, you know, I'm not. I got this beautiful shofar. I brought it here once before. It was a gift to me. The ram's horn. But that's what they blew, the ram's horn. Do you know what the ram's horn was used for? It was not for war. The ram's horn was used to sound the sound of the year of Jubilee. When they blew those trumpets, they were to shout because it was Jubilee. They were going to be set free. They were going to go in and they were going to take what they couldn't get out because they were going in and what was coming out is what God gave them. Oh, someone shout!
Hallelujah! What God gave me, I'm going to give out. He lets you into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in your time of need. He lets you into the throne of grace where you can speak to God about your difficulties and your problems. He lets you into the place of His presence that you can dwell in the very presence of an almighty, all-saving, all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing Creator. God the Father, the Lord God Almighty, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Faithful One of Israel. You see, faith is what overcomes our difficulties. The Bible says it, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John 5:4. Faith overcomes your wall. Faith overcomes your difficulty. Faith gets you across the sea. Faith gets you across the river. Faith gets you through the battle. Faith gets you to praise. And as you worship and praise, God brings victory. Worship isn't just something we do in church. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is radical. Worship is what you do that you say to God, no matter what's around me, God, I'm going to worship you and praise you and acknowledge you and thank you because I am saved. Man, I tell you, it's good to be saved. If you don't know what it feels like and you're saved, then you need to get your save button fixed. Push it in. It feels good. It feels good to know you're not going to go to hell. It feels good to know you're going to heaven. It feels good to know the devil can't bother you. It feels good that you have power over sickness and disease. It feels good that you know that God is going to prosper you. It feels good to know that God is going to take care of your children. It feels good that you can commit yourself unto the Lord and He will bring it to pass. It feels good to know that God's word is alive and sharper than two-edged sword and able to go where men cannot go. You know, Star Trek, they didn't get that statement on they can go where men cannot go. Let me tell you something right now. God made that statement, praise God. The Word of God goes where men cannot go. It's a discerner of spirit. It takes the joint and the marrow and divides it. It goes where it has to go. And the Bible declares that His Word will always return unto Him in the fullness that it was sent. I think it's really beautiful. The only way to grow in faith is to accept new challenges and trust God to give you victory. That's how you grow in faith. Just you get a measure, but if you just keep the measure, that's all you got is a measure. But if you take on new challenges, you take on something that's impossible, but God brings it possible, your faith grows. Amen. I think it's important we understand that when we move and we don't have to pray for easy lives, but we need to pray to be better men and women. We don't have to pray for tasks to equal your powers, but we need to pray for power that equals our tasks. We need to understand that God is saying that there is maybe a wall around your situation. You need to shout it down. I had fun yesterday. I preached a 6-minute version of this message. Somebody said, I wish I'd hear that. Not.
But at the end of the message, I said, now I think every one of you should shout down the wall that's keeping you homeless, that's keeping you marginalized, that's keeping you disenfranchised, that's keeping you from receiving that which you believe your destiny is. I said, I'm going to count to three, and we're all going to shout. And man, I counted to three, and that whole shelter shouted, oh!
Let me tell you something. There is things in your life that I know needs to be shouted down. Your children aren't saved? Shout down the wall. Your finances are struggling? Shout down the wall. Your promises aren't coming to pass? Shout down the wall. Your ministry isn't what it should be? Shout down the wall. Your dreams are becoming nightmares? Shout down the wall. Yes. You're not praying? Shout down the wall. Amen. Literally 7 days. 6 of those 7 days, they marched around once and stopped, and everybody just hung out. No one could talk. The 7th day, they marched around 7 times, and on the 7th time, they blow a trumpet. 7 trumpets blow a sound of freedom and jubilee. They were used to the sound of the silver trumpet calling them to war, but this was not a war. This was freedom. Do you understand that Jesus gave you and I freedom?
Yes.
Freedom to praise, freedom to dance, freedom to run, freedom to have joy unspeakable and hearts that are full of glory. Somewhere along the line, the church has lost blessings because you got a wall up. Shout down the wall and let your blessings come in. Let your blessings come in. Church isn't what it was when I first came in 1976. Some of you weren't even born yet. Some of you were just old enough to cry loud enough to let everybody know you wet yourself. We used to shout. Dance. We used to have the S word in the church. Smile. The C word used to be in the church, commitment. The O word used to be in the church, obedience. I remember those days. I remember when we worshiped till we were through worshiping. We had altar calls till we were through praying. Even though I don't agree with this next statement, I miss seeing it. I miss being part of it. I remember watching people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, like, come on. That's it. All right. There we go. You know, I remember those days. I miss it. At least we were doing something instead of just sitting there staring. And I watch. I miss watching people getting prayed for the Holy Ghost. One person speaking in tongues in one ear, another one speaking in tongues in another ear, another one slapping them on the cheek, another one beating them on the top of the head, and finally they say, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
laying on of hands, people go out in the Holy Ghost, and we go home. But the problem is they're coming up the same way they went down. I miss it. I miss them because we used to have to replace a box of Kleenex every week. Now it's every 6 months because the eyes are dry. We've forgotten how to shout. We've forgotten that coming into the house of God is a joyful thing. It's a thing of praise and honor. And when there's a wall up, we shout! Yes. Yes. Our callings aren't going in and they're not coming out. We're called, but what are you doing? Shout down the wall that's keeping you from fulfilling your calling. I'm loving this jumping. Our giftings. People got gifts. They're there. They're gifts that are there. They're in you. They're alive. But you got them walled up, walled in. They're just there. There's nothing coming in and nothing going out. If you got the gift of tongues, use it. If you got the gift of prophecy, use it. If you got the gift of healing, use it. If you got the gift of knowledge, word of knowledge, use it. If you got the gift of wisdom, use it. I'm afraid to, Pastor. There's your wall. Shout it down. Fear, go away. I may get wild here in a minute. I may even preach, I'm not sure. In our possessions. God said they're ours. And we act like we don't have them. They're ours. Praise God. Possess that which God has given you. That's what they did there that day. God said, this is the land I'm giving you. And you're to go in and you are to possess it. And they ran into a city that wouldn't let anybody in or let anybody out. Do you know why? And I'm going to close now. Do you know why that city wouldn't let anybody in or anybody out? Because they were afraid what was coming in. You know why the devil wants to keep you at bay? Because he's afraid what'll come in. Because what'll come in will get him out. What'll come in will take back the possessions he stole from you sevenfold. What'll come in will release the giftings that's in your life. What'll come in will release the calling that's in your life. What'll in will release the salvation for your child and your children and your grandchildren. Praise God. You know, instead of sitting there and putting up with it, shout that wall down. Amen. You got a wall? Oh, I better not say anything out loud now because he just asked if I got a wall. If I say, yeah, everybody's going to go. They got a wall. And those folks that do that and do this and do that, you got a wall. You got a wall because that's all you can see is yourself. Right. Shout down the wall and be and concern for the welfare and benefits of others in the kingdom of God. I'm going to count to three. Let's shout your wall down. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't have a wall. Okay. Okay. You may not see it, but I do. You got a wall. It's there. It's 46 feet tall. Ain't nothing coming in and nothing's going out. You got a wall. And I'm going to shout it down. Because I want to see you grow. I want to see you become mighty. I want to see you become powerful. I want to see you have the joy of the Lord. I want to see you move in the power of His might. I want to see you healed. I want to see you sanctified. I want to see you baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. No, I don't want that, preacher. Oh, yes, you may not want it, but you need it. This church has got a wall. Because there ain't nothing coming in. There ain't nothing going out. I'm going to shout that down. Amen. Devil doesn't want this church to grow. Devil doesn't want this church to win this city. But God put this church here because God didn't want it to do anything. God didn't have nothing else to do that day. He said, you know, I'm a little bored, so I'm going to put a church where it's not going to do anything. No, God said, I'm going to put a church where it can do something. And the devil said, I'm going to put a wall around it, and they're never going to shout it down because I'm going to keep them within. I sent a message to you today. That's what the Lord said to tell you. And He's saying to me to tell you, He sent a message to you today. It's time to shout. Yeah.
Amen.
The trumpets of Jubilee have sounded.
Hallelujah.
It's time to shout. Ready?
Yes.
One. Now, I know some of you are not all the way Pentecostal. I understand. I understand that some of you just probably are thinking, I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not going to do this. And if He makes me do this, I'm definitely heading to the church down the road that starts with a B, ends with a T. That's where I'm heading for. But be careful, because I know some shouting starts with a B, ends with a T churches. Amen.
Amen. Jesus.
You know, the Nazarene started off shouting. Now only certain people can shout. A lot of churches in America today that don't shout started off shouting. As a matter of fact, the Church of God started out shouting, and it's not shouting. So I'm not just picking on churches. How many of you have been in the Church of God for a long time like me? Do you remember the shout? Praise God. Two. Now, if I shout, don't tell anybody, preacher. Don't tell anybody you saw me shout, because I don't want the reputation to shout in church, because I got the reputation of being staunch. One. I'm going to ask you to be a little Pentecostal here. The trumpet's about to sound. It did sound. Two. Are you sure you want to do this, preacher? Are you sure you want us to shout down this wall? We kind of like this wall just the way it is right now. We know everybody in the church and everything. We got it all set. And we got who we can be with and who we can't be. We got it all set. Three. Shout, shout! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Thank you.
Now I want you to think about the wall that's in your life. You know it's there. You know it's there. There's a wall there. It could be a wall of emotion. It could be a wall of a marred characteristic trait. It could be a wall of a bad memory. It could be the wall of bitterness. It could be a wall of hurt. It could be a wall of loneliness. It could be a wall of rejection. It could be a wall of wealth. It could be a wall of poverty. It could be a wall of racism. It could be a wall that is stopping anything from coming in, and you know nothing's been going out for a long time. When I count to three, we're going to shout with you. One, preacher, I'm not sure. Yeah, you are. You didn't come just today to come. God got you here. Two, okay, I'm gonna obey. I'm going to have patience and faith. I'm going to trust God's plan, and I'm going to move forward in His strategy. Three. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Shout like you mean it! Yeah, Lord! Now I want you to give me one more shout here. God, give God another shout. This is the last one because the Spirit of the Lord said this is the last one. You say, preacher, you really hear from the Lord? Yeah. Because this stuff ain't coming from me. I'm an old Catholic boy, Irish Catholic, grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. We didn't do this kind of stuff. Spirit of the Lord just said this. Ask them if they want to possess this city. And then ask them to shout down that wall that has kept them from possessing this city, this community. One, I don't know, preacher, I kind of like the comfort of our church. No. Two, well, do I have to give up my seat? Maybe. You may have to share it with somebody else. You may have to stand up and give it to somebody who can't yet walk all the way great. Maybe they're needing a seat because they have to sit down. You may have to stand. Are you ready? Three, shout! Lord, oh, a sound of jubilee! The sound of jubilee! Taking the city! Taking the city! The wall is going down! The wall is going flat! Hallelujah! 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 Now today when you go home and your neighbor says, your horse, you've been at the game, say, no, I've been at church. Church! God bless every one of you. I believe a miracle's happened today. I believe a breakthrough's happened. Personally, corporately, and for this church. Praise God. Father, For this day I spoke to you. I have said to you a truth, a knowledge that you could not see because the wall had blinded you. But you've responded. You have shouted. The shout that you shouted is more than a noise that you made. It's a sign of faith before me. You shouted against something that you could not conquer on your own. But I, the Lord your God, has ordered you to do this, and you have done it. The wall is now laying flat. For I am your God. Take what is yours to keep and to have. The spoils belong to you. In my name, I speak this. Amen. Amen. And amen.